There are long swords that are lances.
There are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of wacky.
I turned my game off, though, but...
That's cool. We're recording now.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Nope. Monster Hunter.
Okay. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
And welcome to Liku Studios Podcast, Freeware Game Review number 73, Stealth Bastard.
Tactical Espionage Arsehole. Podcast for Sunday, the 13th of November.
All right.
Okay, cool. So Stealth Bastard is a stealth platforming game by Curve Studios.
Released, like, a week ago?
Yeah, something like that.
It's on a recent Twitter feed. Twitter?
It's on the Tweeters.
I saw Mitchie D tweet about it, and they were like, yo, my Twitter friend just released this game. It's super cool. I think it's by the same guys who did Explodemon, which was sort of the... I hesitate to call it a ripoff, but it is extremely similar to...
Explosion Man?
Explosion Man.
Okay.
And its sequel, Miss Explosion Man. But yeah, this game is cool. It's free. It's sort of... it is a stealth game which does not lose its action elements.
Well, I mean, it's not like there's combat.
Twice in the game, I exploded an enemy robot.
Oh, yeah?
By dropping a push wall on him.
Oh, okay.
It was very satisfying because it happened so infrequently.
I think the game is kind of best described by saying it's like... N plus, and Metal Gear Solid had a baby.
Yeah.
And it is Stealth Bastard with just a little, I guess I'll say portal thrown in just for the, you get messages scrolled on the walls from a mysterious, possibly benefactor.
I think that happened more prominently in, like, Splinter Cell Conviction.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the way that they did all their, like, objective words and stuff. It was just displayed on walls.
Okay.
They had, like, cutscenes on walls, too, and, like, somebody was describing a scene, and they played out the scene in a video.
They'd like, pull out a projector?
No,
just
no.
Just like, hey, pull down the white screen. Let's get this going.
No, just like... I guess it's all in your mind. I think you play as a broken man in that game.
Oh, okay.
Like, one of the scenes I saw was, like, you're interrogating this guy in a bathroom. And by interrogating, I mean, like, you're slamming
his
face into
the
urinals.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, you slam him into a urinal, and then it breaks off the wall. And then a little video starts playing on where the urinal was, describing the information he's now giving you.
That's very strange.
Yeah. It's a cool-looking game. I would actually like to get my hands on
that. That was the one that had, like, the kind of... Where you'd, like, kind of queue up takedowns, where you just kind of, like, tag three guys, and then he just moves through the room and brutalizes them?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you gotta kill enough people well enough first, and then you kill them automatically.
Oh, okay.
I got that skill enough protocol. I get, like, 12 free shots with time frozen.
Yeesh.
Because I just maxed out pistols. I gotta finish that game. It's a good game.
But you get... I mean, the writing on the wall starts out as, like, tutorial stuff. Like, hey, press down to crouch. If you crouch in shadows, they double won't be able to see you. And then later on, it just gets to be, like... You know, there's a room full of lasers, and you have to navigate through, and the wall just says, I only want to help you improve.
Yeah. They're ones that are like, this is for your own good. What did you think would happen? Do you want a gold star? Things like that. It reminds me of a number of Flash games.
Like, it's not like Time for Cuck levels of weirdness?
No,
it's
but...
It's just a little flavor.
But there are a lot of games, you know, ever since Portal, that were like, bust out of this... you know, bust out of this seemingly science facility, listen to the words on the wall or not, they might not be good for you. I remember there was one, I wish I could remember what it was called, that was basically entirely about, like, disregarding what the words say, because it was one of those games where they were like, jump into the spikes, it'll be good for you. But then, like, the spikes don't hurt you, but power-ups do.
It was the whatever parable, right? Right, Stanley Parable?
No, it wasn't Stanley Parable.
Stanley Parable?
No.
My favorite ending for that was when he just has a seizure in the street.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is bonkers. The end.
But yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't want this to get written off, because it, to me, it does feel a lot like a Flash game. But that's because I play some good Flash games in this style.
Yeah, like, this is a very... this game is very tight. Like,
yeah.
It's very... I don't even know how else to describe it. Like, everything just... It's super sleek, and it's very easy to, like, visually pick up on what's going on and everything. And it's just so well-bound.
I was going to say tight in, like, the sense of controls. Like, this that game too. Is wall jumping that is not at all irritating or finicky.
Well, it's got, like, ledge hanging and then jumping off ledges.
Yeah. But there are a lot of sections where they'll put, like...
Yeah, back and forth, up and down.
Yeah. that sometimes have lasers going past, and you got to time it through the lasers. There was one... And because this game is so much about, like, hiding in shadows... Just, like, the light dynamics in this game are beautiful.
Yeah.
Not just in... Because, like, there's a lot of sections where, like, there's a moving platform and some ground underneath it. And the platform is actually just casting a shadow. And you have to crawl along underneath it following the moving shadow.
Yeah. Or you'll be, like, pushing one of those little push wall robots and using its shadow to, like, hide from cameras or block lasers or whatever.
But then that's where the puzzle comes in. Because if you push it too far, the light will be right above you and you won't be shadowed anymore. And you'll be shot with lasers! A lot of
robots
as you're getting shot with lasers.
Robots do not like you.
Not at all. So, I mean, it's a push wall isn't a robot. It's a push wall.
It's got eyes, though.
It does, but that's sort of the thing. The eyes are happy to see you.
Yeah, that robot likes you.
They get sad if you get too far away. I feel kind of bad for those push walls. They can't move on their own.
Being push wall is suffering.
And yeah, it's great because a lot of the lights are not dynamic. Like, I don't think the point of light themselves move, but just a lot of the levels are set up with, like, sections where lights will turn on and turn off as you hit switches, and it'll also just, like, straight up reveal new areas
to
you.
Yeah, the way your environment kind of grows where it's like, you know, you start the level and you see that you need to get to three terminals to open the door, because that's basically your goal state is you have to get to all the terminals and then it opens the door and then you go through it. And you get this... You get the visual indicator above the door of how many terminals there are. So, like, you might start a level, see one terminal, and see that the door has four lights. So you're just like, oh, well, I wonder what up with that. And then you go and you hit the terminal, and, like, a door opens, and you're like, oh, a door. And then it just illuminates this huge area. Just the way the levels grow like that, I super, super like that.
Yeah. And they actually do, in later levels, they do use that really well. Like, there's one level... where you start out at the exit door, and it's just, like, there's three lights, and it says areas 1, 2, and 3.
Huh.
And, like, those are entirely separate levels on their own that you have to go through in whatever order you please.
Mm-hmm.
But just a lot of them, like, you walk past the exit door at one point, you just leave it alone, and then there's an elevator at the end to take you back. It's just some very nicely designed levels. Like, and what, the game itself has about 40 levels?
It's got four acts. Each one is, like, 10 levels.
Yeah.
And then it said there was... When I beat the first one, it said you unlocked more challenge levels. That might just be the next...
The second act, okay. Yeah. And then there's also a level editor, and they have, like, automatic level uploading. I don't know if it's automatic, but you can make your own levels and upload them, and then there's an in-game browser, and there's already, like, 36 levels on there at the time of recording.
Yeah, that's actually the first thing I checked out. Like, when I loaded up the game, it was like, okay, start game, editor, user levels. And I just went and clicked on that. It's like, we've got, like, 30-something. Do you want to download them all? And I'm like... Not quite yet.
Yeah.
Let me learn how to play this game first. But that I'm excited about, also because it has, like, global leaderboards for every level. Like, every time you beat a level, it will just give you your time and your ranking. But that's a pretty cool, like, you know, just sort of community thing.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine, you know, having your level up and, you know, seeing the time that you validated it in or whatever, and then having access to the leaderboards and just see how other people are doing in it. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah.
And it's super simple, but, like, I would feel proud.
Yeah. I think the highest one I got was, like, 61.
Yeah, like, I get into double digits sometimes.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, fairly impressive that if they got, like, over 100, 200 guys playing this already, and it's only been out for about a week.
Yeah, they're like, sometimes I'll beat a level, and it's like, okay, you're, like, 246th, and I'm like... How many people are playing this game? Goddamn.
Yeah. Especially because, like, I don't know where they release it. I mean, it seems like it's a PC-only freeware download. if it was not for Michi D on Twitter, I would not have heard of this game at all. Like, this easily... I haven't even seen it on, like, the freeware blogs that I saw. And they just covered Shoot the Butts. So... Yeah.
I don't know. I think this game would be like great for an XBLA indie release.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean that's where their other game, if it is the same team, in fact, that's where their other game. It's a PSN title.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
cool.
And then decided let's make this one free, and it's super cool. What else do we want to say about it?
You said you played around with the editor a bit. I have not gotten into it yet. How is that? Because from what I've seen of the level layout in the game and the way that certain things work mechanically, like the example I brought up before was this one section where you have to navigate this big square and on each corner is like a laser that will fire down its side in turn and they all just kind of go around. And I was like, oh, I wonder, I guess you could just script stuff like that. And then I just look in the center of the square and there's just a block moving around hitting all the switches that fire off the laser in turn. And yeah. Like, I like, you know, transparent mechanical systems like that. Like, it reminds me of the Incredible Machine and shit like that.
Yeah.
So what was your experience with the editor like? Because I haven't gotten into that yet.
It basically comes down to it is a fairly easy to use editor, but each sort of piece that you're allowed to play around with has a lot of options to it. So unless you have sort of a goal in mind for what you want to create, you can't really just sit down and play with the editor without an idea. Like, you can, but you will get very little out of it. It's definitely one of those situations where it's like you need to say, like, okay, I want to try making this machine.
And you need to go in with your own direction, or at least a theme to work on.
Yeah.
I want to have a level exploiting lasers on moving platforms.
Well, actually, because of the way a lot of it works is it does work with, like, you can put a switch on a surface, and you can tie the switch to, like, multiple entities, so you can have it, like, turn on a light, and turn on a moving platform, or turn on a laser, or in a lot of these things. And a lot of things are, like, self-contained scripted, like the robots just kind of put him down, and he does what he do, which is very cool. But I'm curious about one level in particular, where they had, you know those, like, light color mixing puzzles? There was one in the co-op of Half-Life 1.
Light color mixing?
Yeah, where there's like three lasers, a red, blue, and a green.
Oh, yeah.
There's a level based on that.
Oh, yeah?
There's like three switches in the middle at the bottom. And as you turn them on, it turns on a red, blue, and green laser. And there's doors amongst the rest of the level, like the energy field, so that enemies can pass through, but you can't, that are with the combinations of those colors. So the trick is you have to keep going back there to switch up which doors are open in order to, like, get to certain areas.
Interesting.
Like, it's really interesting. Really, that was a really hard level. Like, I goofed up a lot, mainly because there's two guys just floating around, so you have to make sure that, like, you keep them traveling in the right direction so that you can sneak along behind them along the path that you currently have open. Like, it was really tough.
Gosh.
But I'm not sure exactly how they made that work because it when you, like, to hit two terminals would turn on the lights, but then the lights would mix colors as well. But I don't know if how you trigger it so that a door opens when two terminals are on. So there must be some sort of logic gates going on systems.
I haven't played through all of the campaign yet. Are there, like, switches that are light receptive?
What do you mean?
Like, are there switches that will be triggered when they are illuminated?
No, I did not see any of those.
Okay.
And I also don't know if the light is, if, like, you're just turning on a mixed color light, or if the light is actually mixing in-game because two lights of two different colors are on. Either way, it's, like I said, there seems to be some sort of logic gates and some really complex stuff that you can do. But the editor itself is actually still fairly simple. Like, it's like, all right, I need a block here. And it says, all right, how big of a block do you want? Place it where you want, drag it around. It's one of those live editors, too, so when you drop down a robot, he'll move along however much he can.
Oh, cool.
Like, everything is basically like a right-click menu. So you right-click on, you know, a robot, and it'll be like, what direction do you want to start me facing? You click on a block. It's like, do you want me to be a moving platform? If so, do I start moving? You click on a light, and it's like, how big am I? What am I tied to? You click on a button, and you'd be like, all right, I'm a button. What do I turn on? A lot of stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's just a lot of really little pieces that, you know, that's why you need
that to have their own context.
Yeah. And that's why you need to sort of have that idea going in, because it's a lot of little pieces that on their own are sort of uninteresting. It's the overall thing that you make with all of them that becomes very interesting.
And that's definitely, I think, the case in the game. Like, all of the individual things, like, okay, you got robots, and robots move around in little set patterns, and you have lights, and you want to be in the dark, and you have lasers, and lasers murder you. Like, all on their own, they're very simple things, but the interplay of all of them is super fun.
Yeah, and like, that's one of the things that makes it such a great game, is that it's all simple stuff, but then really complex interactions. Like, there's one section where there's like a robot, and you have to let him walk on top of a trap door, and then you open a door while he's over it, and he falls. And when he falls, he blocks off a laser, but he also keeps walking back and forth. And at one point, he's stepping on a switch. So you then have to go get a wall, push it down in front of him, and then push the wall closer so that he's both constantly standing on the switch and blocking the laser, and is trapped and can't kill you with his own laser.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of that going on in the game, and it's really, like they got, like, 40 levels. I'm sure there's so much out there that, you know, and that's why they have the level editors, because,
like,
I played one level, Spy Yes, Not So Obvious, and, like, there was some stuff in that game which wasn't even in the main levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that if people can pick up on this and we get cool level makers out there, there'll be some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this game's been out for like a week or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the crowd of people playing this game have already matched the number of levels in the game that have been, you know, verified and published already. So I think there will be more of this game for a while at least.
Yeah.
I definitely want to go back and finish the actual game and then get my hands dirty in the editor.
Yeah. I do want to check out more of the downloaded levels because this game is just so fun to play.
Yeah.
The only reason I haven't is because I was like, I need to go play some Super Mario Galaxy. and also, got to get working on some Trackmania maps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this game is like, let's just do a wrap-up on this before we get into that stuff. Just really good, crisp controls, crisp visuals.
Looks so sleek. It's got scan lines on it. Like, very subtle, but the whole thing is just so cool. Very clear on information. That's like, again, it's all simple stuff, so it's simple information that they're showing, but it's, you know, like, vital stuff.
And just like the little things they do to communicate to you, like, you know, light levels are important. Like, when you're in dark spaces, you're invisible to robots, even if their gaze is on you. But, like, you know, you can see the discrete area that they observe in a little cone in front of them, like on the MGS radar. But it's just, like, on top of them. And, like, your goggles will light up different colors depending on how much light you're in if you, you know, need extra, you know, in, you know, sensory whatever to know that. But, like,
because it's also telling you at the bottom of the screen, like, big red, yellow, or green letters whether you're visible or not.
And there's also, you know, just light.
Actually,
you can look at that.
Back on the subject of the robot cone of vision,
yeah.
Did you notice that the cone of vision also has, like, an outer line on it?
Yes.
To tell you, like, the border when they just sort of see you and they don't know if you're a thing or not, and when they're like, we see you and you're close enough that we know what you are.
And when you're partially visible, if one of the when a robot locks onto you, like, it will stay there and kind of scan you for a while before attacking to determine what you are. And it just has this two-line sweep that goes in through its vision, and then when it connects with each other, it's like, oh shit, it's the bad guy! It's the stealth bastard!
And then immediately lasers.
So, you like, it communicates, this game communicates to you so well.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I kind of wish there was more stuff in a game like Metal Gear Solid like this. Because, I mean, like, that's the only maybe downside, is that, you know, you play a game like Metal Gear Solid, and then, you know, they have, like, the big narrative story and cutscenes, and you get grenades and guns, and you can hang off balconies and stuff. This game doesn't have any, you know, offensive conflict.
It's a totally different beast. I wouldn't compare this game directly to Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, no.
It's obviously influenced by it.
But I'm just trying to get that. I feel like, I mean, you know, it's about context. If you play this game, they have the tactical espionage arsehole. That's, like, a direct reference.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to compare it to that, you have to talk about sort of a reference, and that's the only thing I would say, is, like, because it is all defensive only, like I said, the only time I killed an enemy was because I dropped a wall on him by opening a door. So, it almost feels like it takes away some player agency, because there's not as much that you can do directly. It's all about solving the puzzle about, like, where should I be, what should I do? And that's, like, maybe it's a bad thing if you like having a lot of action, having big guns, but for what this game is, for being such, like, a very tight, focused idea, for being about being stealthy, but also a lot of jumping, you don't miss it at all. Like,
yeah.
Like, the only thing that maybe could, like, do it and not hurt the game would be if they put, like, proximity mines, but you don't even need that because you got lasers and you got walls. You got everything you need already.
Mm.
So, like, that may confuse a couple of people at first because, like, it really is just a puzzle game about, like,
yeah.
Where do I be? What order do I hit?
It is a stealth puzzle platformer.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That is an amazing thing for it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you should check this game out. We will have links to it in the schnotes. And before we get to the end of that and the rest of that, we just have some quick housekeeping stuff.
Talking about our Trackmania event?
Yep.
You got some stuff going on?
Yeah. I mean, we've got people coming together on the Facebook page. We've got, I don't know, a handful of people that are definitely showing up to this thing. I've got two tracks all set and ready to go on my end.
Yeah. I got one new track made, more to just sort of warm myself back up into making tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I cleaned up Satellite Lab a bit because there were a couple of things about that were just too asshole. And I'm probably going to go clean up Mount Tequina because whether it needs it or not, that's still just one of my favorite tracks.
That is a good map. That is in the stadium environment, right?
Right.
I haven't played around with any of the dirt elements in the stadium environment. I think I want to.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially because there is, in order to make mountains at all, you need to put down, like, dirt field.
Yeah.
And then
you can raise it up. Okay, because I know you can't, like, raise the grass, and that was kind of bleh.
But you can take the dirt elements and place them on grass.
Oh, okay.
If you just want to make, like, a dearth pack through the grass section.
Okay.
And also you can use water to break stuff up, and
yes.
You can skip off of water if you're going fast enough.
Once.
Well, because after once, you slow down too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time we had a track where in order to, like, keep the right amount of speed, you had to fall through a hole in the track, bounce off the water, and up into a hole later on in the track. And there was, like, a block gap in between, so that the better way to do it was to skip off the water.
I love how bonkers this game is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got work going on our end trying to prepare for this thing. Once again, if you're interested in joining up for this, check out the Facebook page. We'll have the link for that in the schnotes as well.
Yep.
We've been pimping it on Twitter and stuff too, so.
Talking about Twitter,
Talking about the tweets.
If you ever want to contact us, a good way to find us is on Twitter, @AliteKoo. You can also.
As well as our personal accounts.
Yeah. You can also send us email, podcast@AliteKooStudios.net. You can find us on the iTunes Music Store and Zune Marketplace. If you want to leave us reviews or ratings, that would be super appreciated.
You can find us on Facebook. We have the Aliteku Studios fan page.
Just Facebook/Aliteku.
Yep.
And up at Aliteku, I just did a sort of visual rehaul on the site yet again.
Yep.
Because
it's looking pretty nice.
Well,
I do
like
it.
Those little flourishes on, like, the left side of the bar.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the only thing I wanted to do. Because, like, I needed something to break up just, I am a big list of boxes, herbler.
Yeah.
But, like, that was actually tricky to figure out how to do in CSS. So
okay.
I kind of just brute forced my way to learning how to do that.
Good job.
But now that's done. And, you know, comics are still going up. Caitlin just put up, like, all of the comic pages she has. So there's, like, 25 of those now, if you want to read more of hers.
I should.
Yeah. I'm, like, two comics away from 60. On
Woo!
A loof, and I'm going to have, like, the last character of the main cast in like, a week or two.
Most recent comic had sorghum in it.
Yeah, it did. And Bulfango. It's something you put in a natural drink, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Make pelts out of it.
It's Mountain Whiz. It's made from goat.
And
deep
I'm
cuts.
About to fix the podcast page so that you can link to a specific episode rather than to just somewhere in the episode list, because I realize that's something that would help with the whole linking, even though we don't have, like, extended show notes because we never really needed them. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
So
go play Stealth Bastard. Get yourself Trackmania. It's free. come party with us.
Yeah. Again, that's going to be the end of the month, 29th. So get ready.
Get set.
Angel Beats seems dumb.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.